Almighty God, we sit today before your holy word. We seek your truth, and we seek to take on your image and your likeness with ever-increasing glory. Bless us in the following few minutes as we learn about real, genuine, authentic power. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. I got a couple of neat little things I want to share with you to begin with. I always enjoy celebrating great news. I don't know if y'all have been to the little art exhibit over at the Civic Center, but I have found out that Maureen Mo-Webb has several pieces on display. She won 3 ribbons yesterday. That's no surprise of mine. She is amazing. So, Maureen, great job. We celebrate with you. And I was also blessed just a few minutes ago. Stephen gave me this card, and today is Skye's birthday. Skye, where are you? Where's she at? Is she hiding out? There she is, all the way on the back row. 14 or 15, where are we at? 15 years old, and this is what Steve and Rhonda say. They want to give thanks to God for blessing us with our special girl. This day, and for protecting her to live, to continue to have this day with us. Happy birthday, Skye. So we rejoice with Skye. You know, all of us have different stories. We've all got all kinds of amazing stories, crazy stories. Skye was almost died in a car accident, and just through the loving prayer and the loving service of incredible doctors and highly skilled EMT workers here in El Campo, look, we thank God for Skye. Amen? Say amen with me, church family. Amen? Amen. So, Skye, we celebrate with you. And you know, one of the things that we learn in Scripture is that God teaches us to think differently than the rest of this world about all things, including life and even death, because Scripture tells us that nothing can separate us from the love that Christ Jesus has for us. And so God, even in death, can reach down into the grave, and he can bring newness in life. And that's our hope, church family. That's why we're here, amen? Because we believe and we hold fast to the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today is our final lesson. We've done 6, today will be the 6th lesson in this series of lessons called Family Strong. And I believe that God's word can make husbands and wives and children and church families strong. And through the maturity and the growth that we experience through the Jesus Christ, we become powerful witnesses. We are like an ongoing advertisement advertising the peace of Christ, the greatness of Christ, as he works to change each of our lives. And today we're going to talk about being family strong with regard to our dads. And I don't know about you guys, but as a dad, I'm attracted to power, and I'm always looking to power up. But let me begin with a story today, and I just want to acknowledge this fact through this story. Dads aren't always appreciated. Sometimes we're overused, underappreciated, and forgotten. And here's a story that kind of illustrates that. I just read about it. It happened recently. There was a family from Texas going on a vacation. They had a long drive to make, and they experienced quite a bit of excitement on their journey to their destination. The dad had been driving the car all night long, and some other member of the family was asleep in the back so that they could drive during the day. And they stopped to get some gas, and dad went in and he put cash down, and because he didn't know how much to put in the tank, and so he put enough down with the cashier, went out, filled up his tank, and he went back inside to get his change. He got his change. He walked back out of the filling station, and the vehicle wasn't there. The family wasn't there. They were gone. His cell phone was with the family in the vehicle that was gone. He didn't have any way to connect with them whatsoever. And the reason the family was gone is because they had thought dad was already in the back of the vehicle asleep. And so there were six members in the family that had cell phones. Folks, I don't know how big this family was, but evidently they communicate by text. We don't talk anymore. So anyway, he borrowed somebody's phone and he sent text. He left messages. Nobody was answering the phone. He called his phone that was on a jack in the car being charged, and nobody answered his phone. And so he went over to a motel that was close by the filling station, and he got on Facebook. Hey, friends, if you want to be found, if you want to be recognized or acknowledged, just get on Facebook. And so he's on Facebook. He let everybody know that his family had left him. Well, one of the kids got on Facebook about 2 hours later. They were 100 miles away from where they had left their dad, and that was when they recognized that he was not in the back of the vehicle. Well, it turned out fine. The dad was beginning to wonder that it might be on purpose, since they weren't answering any phone calls. Maybe they were vacating him from the family. But anyway, they did turn around and went back and picked him up. It was a fun little story for the family to relive. That'll be a vacation none of them will ever forget. I'm sure there'll be lots of fun and laughter spoken about it. But dads can sometimes feel overused, underappreciated, and forgotten. Amen? It's okay. Say it. We know it's true. But I want you to know this morning that dads matter to God. Dads matter to God. And today we're not going to leave you behind. We're going to get you right in that vehicle with us as we travel together in God's holy word. Here's what I want you to know, dads. Well, I'll state it up front. How about that? This is what I want you to know. It's what God wants you to know. God extends to you an opportunity to power up. God wants you to be a man of great force. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, if you will. Let me get there as well. I don't have verse 11 up on the screen, but this is what it says. Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. This is what Jesus says. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater, okay? Now, that word that's used there in the Greek is where we get our word mega from. And mega is like large or powerful, okay? There has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist yet. He who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. There's an amazing claim that Jesus is making here, because the law and the prophets were coming down to this great point in history, and they Malachi especially talked about the one who would come in the spirit of Elijah, and it would be God's messenger saying, prepare ye the way for the Lord. And that was going to be, and it was discovered to be, John the Baptist. Okay, and the kingdom of heaven is forcefully and moving powerfully forward. God's agenda is being worked out. Jesus says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Now, I'm immediately attracted to this verse because I like power. And we're going to talk about that. But I got to do a little timeout right here, because some of you have different translations of the Bible, and your translations don't read anything like this one from the NIV. And I want all of you to know, I'm going to do a little background work here, so I need you to stay with me. You're going to stay with me. I need an amen. All right, so we're going to dig a little deeper here. All right. This is one of the hardest verses in all of the New Testament to translate into English and get the concept across well. Now, I want to show you, this is what the King James Version says. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. You see, it reads completely different. On one hand, with the NIV, it says it's forcefully advancing. Here, it says it suffers. Two different complete meanings. And it says, and violent men take it by force. Now, I want all of you to know that that is a correct translation of the Greek concept, but it doesn't come across in English in a way in which understanding what Jesus is saying it really comes to fruition. Let me show you another one. The New Revised Standard Version is in the same biblical history of translations as the King James Version. And this is what it says. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, very similar, and the violent take it by force. Now, if you'll, any of you that have this scripture or this particular translation, you'll see in the margins an alternative reading, and it says, the kingdom of heaven has been coming violently, okay, and the violent take it by force. Which is a really good translation if you understand what violent means and really get this idea down. And we're going to talk about this. Again, this is one of the most difficult passages to translate. Well, let me ask you a few things and let us think about what Jesus says about power and force in the Gospel of Matthew. Let's look at the context of Matthew for just a minute. Now, if y'all will stay with me, time out. If you'll stay with me, I promise you there is a payoff at the end of this, okay? So we're going to go a little deeper right here. Here we go. What I want us to ask is, when we look at this, is Jesus saying the kingdom of heaven is being overpowered? Now, if you read in the John chapter 11, look here, verse 1. After Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and to preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Let me tell you what. Jesus Christ is in the position of all power and authority. But Hebrews, we read that not everyone sees this reality. We as Christians know of Jesus' power, but we don't always see his dominion in the world. Sometimes it looks like the kingdom of darkness is winning. And John is wondering that. Is the kingdom of darkness winning? And so Jesus said to John's disciples to go tell John this. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who doesn't fall away on account of me. Let's recalibrate, John. Because what you're seeing is the power of the kingdom forcefully advancing. John, don't miss it. What happened to John? We know that he preached against the powers, the institutional powers that existed in that day. Herod, the political one on the throne, John preached against some things that Herod was doing that was absolutely evil. And he got put in prison because Herod had power. And we know that John was beheaded. But even though John was beheaded, who has the greater power? We as Christians have a different point of view. Herod would say he has the greater power. But what did we find out about Herod? God struck Herod and he was eaten with worms. He had a slow, torturous death that we read about in the book of Acts because he did not give glory to God. He was a man of incredible pride, hubris, and arrogance. Okay? And so when we look at this, it might make sense then that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. But what does Jesus say? He says, and look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 17, be on your guard against men. They'll hand you over to the local councils. They'll flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you will say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be your speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Okay? What do they want to do? They want to suppress the knowledge of God. And so it might make sense in context that this might would be a correct correct way of rendering the English. So the question is, John's in prison. It doesn't look like the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing. So is Jesus saying the kingdom of heaven is coming violently? Okay? Is it being treated with violence? And does it come with violence? Does it fit the context of Matthew? Like when we look at this text here from the the New Revised Standard Version, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence and the violent take it by force. Are we talking about being a victim in the kingdom? Or are we talking about if we take the kingdom of heaven, do we take it by force? It can be read either way. But Jesus says, he doesn't say blessed are the violent, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He teaches us to turn the other cheek. And when we have enemies, friends, do we have enemies at times? Sometimes the enemy can be next door. Sometimes the enemy can be in the same bed. Sometimes the enemy can be in the hallway, down the house, in another room. Usually our enemies are those closest to us, not those furthest from us, but sometimes they are too. What does Jesus say? He says, what do? We love our enemies. We pray for those who persecute us. Jesus never says kill the infidels or the unbelievers. That's another religion. He never says that. So we don't take it for force. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, after he's been impaled on the cross. So what, let's talk about this word violent for just a moment. This word violent. The kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. The word is baesete. It can have a negative meaning, and it can have a positive meaning. Negatively, it can be one who uses force. But it can also have a positive meaning one who is impetuous. Have you ever had an impetuous person around you? They diligently want what they want, and they stay after it. They're dogged in their determination. It's one who is forceful in the eager pursuit of something. Like for instance, the word isn't used in these verses, but the concept is, seek first the kingdom of God. Or what does he say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Okay, that's being impetuous, forcefully seeking God in his kingdom. So the word can be one who that describes forceful people who lay hold of something because of their boldness, because of their bravery, because of their courage. Let me give you some very important information. Stay with me. There's going to be a payoff here. All right. Matthew was originally written in Greek. Jesus did not speak in Greek very often. Okay, so we have all these red letter words in our Bible, right? Are y'all following me? We have all these red letter words in our Bible. Especially in the Gospel of Matthew, there's a number of Hebraic phrases and words that are used, and they are sustained as Hebraic. Okay? But Jesus spoke Hebrew. Okay? So all that red letter stuff was originally spoken in Hebrew. And when Matthew wrote his Gospel, it was written in Greek. And now it's been translated in English. Are y'all following me? So Jesus spoke Hebrew. It was written by Matthew in Greek. And now it's been translated into English. And in that process, we've lost some of the significance of the meaning of this word force, to take something by force. Jesus would have originally used the word. This is important, otherwise I wouldn't be sharing any of this, because it gets to an image that we would discover in the Old Testament, that the folks that Jesus was talking to, they had got it when they heard it, whereas it's kind of hard for us. Stay with me here, though. Okay, the Hebrew word for to take by force is peretzit, which comes from the Greek word peretz, which means to break or tear down. There is a man in the Old Testament known as Perez. His word means to break forth, and that's what he did when he was born of Tamar. And that word is used in Genesis in the story of Judah and Tamar. And he broke forth, Perez. Okay, that's where we get this word. It means to break or tear down, to breach something. Here we go. We're getting closer to the payoff. Are y'all with me? I need an amen. It's like, John, get there quicker. Come on. Stay with me. Here we go. That word to breach is like a breach in a wall or something like a child that breaks forth from the womb. It means to breach something. So to take by force, okay, means to breach. It would have meant, the word that Jesus would have used would have meant to breach. And here's how it would have sounded to the original disciples. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is being breached, and the breachers are possessing it. Let me read that again. This is how they would have heard it. That the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is being breached, and the breachers are possessing it. Jesus is making an allusion to something that the people in Israel would have been very familiar with. And he is echoing here a passage from Micah chapter 2. And here's what Micah 2, 12 through 13. And those who heard Jesus say the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing and men of force take it. Okay? This is what they would have heard. They would have been recalled this passage from Micah 2, 12 and 13. Here's what it says. It's the hope of deliverance that Micah prophesied. I'll surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I'll bring them together like a sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. And the place will throng. There'll be multitudes with people. One who breaks open the way will go out before them, and they will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. What's going on here? Okay. Anybody that was a shepherd that would have taken his sheep out, way out back somewhere, would have been in the back country, and at nighttime they had to protect the sheep from the predators. And so what the shepherds would do is they would find a canyon that had a back and two sides, and they would take those sheep all the way to the back of the canyon, and then they would take brush, maybe thorny bushes, maybe some rocks, and they would make a makeshift wall or a makeshift gate or a makeshift door, even though you and I would call it a fence. They just fence them in there, all right? But they would use the imagery or the analogy of door or gate. And it was made out of natural brush and rocks. And in the morning, at daybreak, the shepherd would breach or break through the door or the gate, which we would call a fence, all right? He would breach it, and he would go out, and he'd go, "Woo, Suey, come here, Sally, come here, Jake, come here, Johnny boy." That was a good-looking sheep. And they would hear their name, and they would hear the shepherd's voice, and they would start to come through the breach. Now, have any of y'all seen sheep follow somebody? They don't go one by one, okay? They get their nose in. Have y'all ever seen, have you ever gone to a sporting event like the Dallas Cowboys or maybe the Houston Texans, and everybody's standing at the door? I remember this when El Campo was at the state championship at Dallas, right? We're all standing at the door. We're waiting to get in, and the doors are open, and like, I mean, you're like, people are coming in and trying to just kind of push their way through. Sheep do the exact same thing. And as they came through, the breach would get larger and larger and larger. And there would be like a stampede, a big breach, and they would go out to the shepherd and they would find green pastures. Folks, this is the image of Jesus. When he says in Matthew chapter 11, he says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. See, the breach had occurred. What's the breach? What held us fenced in? Church family, was it not our sins? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Right? When we were dead in our transgressions and sins, what did Christ do? He died on the cross. He suffered death. He was buried in a tomb. And then 3 days later, he rose from the tomb. He overcame the greatest power that we as humans face, and that is our own mortality. Jesus was the one who breached the wall between us and God. And he, our great shepherd, went through, and he invites us to go through the wall with him. And that, my friends, is authentic and genuine power. Now, listen to what the text says. The kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. All right. So, guys, here's what I want you to think about today. Are you making that hole larger for your family to get through? Are you standing in the back of the fold just saying, hey, I just think I'll hang out in the canyon today, the canyon of life? I just want to hang around a little more in this world and not worry so much about the breach that's in front of me for the kingdom to come. I'm kind of seeing this is more powerful than that. And so what do? We don't make the breach any larger. We're not men of great force when God offers us this amazing opportunity. The shepherd made a hole, and as the sheep went through, the hole would get larger and larger on the other side. It's not the kingdom of heaven that's suffering violence. It's the kingdom of darkness, sin, and death that's suffering violence. And violent men, or forceful men, they take it. They take it. They know authentic power when they see us. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but as I said to you earlier, I'm attracted to what's more powerful. I like race cars. Have y'all ever been to NASCAR? If not, you've seen it on TV. Is there any greater moment, other than the end of the race, than when the guy says, "Gentlemen, start your engines"? I long for the day I get to do that. Oh, or there may be a button to put. I don't know how they do it. See, I don't even know. But man, I want to know sometime. And the sound of all of those horses, 400-500 horsepower under the hood. Yeah! That's good stuff. I like it. Anything with greater force as a man, I'm attracted to, because power magnifies impact. And we as dads and men know that. Power magnifies impact. We like more powerful trucks. We like more powerful motors. We like, in Wharton County, more powerful tractors. We like chainsaws, not little 14-inch pollens. We want 24-inch steel. With a name like Steel, who would echo, forget that? It's got to be Steel. That's a man thing. Give me a bat that can hit it further, a club that can knock it longer. I want it. Even our mowers and blowers, we like them with power. Can I get an amen? Right? Because power magnifies impact. This past week, we went fishing offshore. Phil Hulsizer arranged it. We had the best time. Those of you that didn't get to go, maybe next year. I won't tell you we caught. I looked at the picture. I counted over 173 fish that we kept, but I hate to tell you that because I don't create jealousy or envy today. Don't want you sinning in the house of the Lord. All right. Got to talking about the motors inside their boat. I learned what a Detroit diesel motor was, and there were two of them. They were turbos, over 1,200 cubic inches. Is that right, Phil? Yeah. Did you hear Phil? Yeah. Yeah. And it moved with force. I'm attracted to power because power magnifies impact. Yesterday, I got to play in a little golf tournament. I asked Blake, former Larry's nephew, to play with me. The reason I asked Blake is because he's got something that I don't have enough of, and that's power. And yesterday, I saw him hit 330, 340-yard drives. I will ride that kid's back as long as I can. Because he magnified my impact. I'm attracted to power. If we played basketball, I want a 7-foot giant because it magnifies power. it magnifies power. Guys, we want to power up. Is there anything more powerful than the resurrection of Jesus? Nah. No. There is power in the blood of Jesus to forgive sin. There's power over death through the resurrection and life that we find in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, "By his power God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also." That's power. We, as the smartest men on the face of the earth, have designed power to take life. No one yet has designed power to eternally save life. God has. We realize we're in a spiritual war. The devil takes no prisoner. He has no compassion on any human being of any age. We're not afraid of him. We're not afraid of his schemes. Whatever we do in word or deed, we do it in the name of the Lord. The one in us is greater, there's that power word again, than the one in the world. As men, we know that authentic, unmanufactured power comes from our great Savior and loyal friend, Jesus. We refuse then to live in neutral or reverse, but it's full throttle, baby. Amen? It's full throttle with Jesus. Will you be the one who opens the door wider for your wife? Will you love her like Jesus loves the church? For your children, will you sacrifice for them, not so that they would have all the things of this world, but they could to get beyond this world to the next. Transcend, that's the word I was looking for. They can transcend this life into the next. Friends, that's power. Will you share the power of Jesus with the lost? Everything that you do in word or deed sends one message of power that is unauthentic and one message of power that is authentic. The men in this church are men of power because we are Christian men. We are breachers. We are men of force. And Jesus is the one that opened the way, and we're running in haste into his glorious kingdom. I want to challenge the men of this church to be powerful leaders in our jobs through excellence. We work for the Lord, not for men. Tomorrow morning when you get up, you better give it your best because it's for Almighty God. We seek to be powerful providers for our family, powerful servants for the good of all. We lead with deeds and encourage one another to make sure that the buck stops here. No wimpy whining. No blame shifting. It starts and stops with us, dads. Amen? It's got to, if we want to pass that on to our children and our family. Men, we need to grow deeper in the word so we can stand taller in the world for the honor and the glory of God. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If we can serve any of you, we invite you forward while we stand and sing.